Motherfuckers get stuff. Two kinds of fun. There's things and there's stuff, and they just cannot get along. Which side do you want? Well, who loves their stuff? Our country has let stuff directed in there. We chomp, chomp with a bit. Who votes for things? Cannot win with the chopping this, dicing that, compartmenting you, and therefore the grouping of me. Sectionality. Kiloton's knife up the harmony. Categorically. Try and conquer the last family.
CJUM 101.5, University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Manitoba being in Canada. On planet Earth.
The views expressed in the following program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of this station.
Careful now, we didn't have time to insert the... So be advised, what you're about to hear contains material not suitable for all listeners.
The Israeli Defense Force has now killed 20,000 Palestinian children and injured 44,000 more. This is indefensible. The report found evidence of attacks on child essential infrastructure like orphanages and schools, the starvation and torture of detained children. It identified really horrifying evidence that IDF soldiers deliberately shot at children's limbs as some sort of twisted game of target practice. The report found the scale of child deaths is unprecedented to the point that it is unparalleled across modern conflicts globally. Unparalleled. And I think we need to come to terms with what it means in this moment in history to be defined this way.
Rise to sun. out to the people, the suffering people of Palestine in Gaza, where there is still a genocide, unreported now, of course, and in the occupied West Bank, where homes and villages and towns are being razed to the ground and sold off, can you imagine it, to people, some in this country, to buy, to Judaize the whole of the land between the river and the sea, regardless of the fact this is Palestinian land. So what can I do at my age and my frailty? Very little. I do what I can to support the Palestinians. And one of the best things that I can do is to support the organization known as Palestine Action, because they have been brave enough to, some of them, smash up the weapons that are producing the genocide. So I ask you too to support Palestine Action. Join me.
From displays, a Middle East Eye investigation has revealed. Internal emails show the terms Palestinian and Israelite occupation were also erased in direct response to months of lobbying in 2024. When asked at the time, the museum and its director flatly denied this. My colleague Lucy Anais reported in February.
I've come to the British Museum here in London to check out the exhibition behind me, after it sparked controversy after removing the word Palestine from some of its displays. The museum told us the term is no longer considered neutral, and it had opted for more historically accurate language.
The museum had added that the changes were based on audience testing. However, a Freedom of Information request reveals no such testing occurred. The term Palestine was removed due to private and public complaints by pro-Israeli organizations and activists, not impartial focus groups.
There is no other country in the world that by its own law, its law that has no jurisdiction over me, claims that it is my country. Now, this law of Israel's that there is no Israeli nationality, there's only a Jewish nationality, and Israel's the country of the Jewish nationality, was contested a number of times in Israel in court. And it went to Israel's Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that they refused to make an Israeli nationality because, and I quote from the Supreme Court, the foundation stone of Zionism is that being Jewish is not merely a religious identity, but also a national identity. And if we would make an Israeli nationality, that would go against Zionism, and it would also sever the connection between the Israeli Jews and the Jews outside of Israel, the national connection. Now, this national connection does not exist. Israel's army claims to be the army of the Jews, and they teach and brainwash that Israel is the state of the Jews and the army of the Jews, all of which is against the Jewish religion, all of which is the exact opposite of Jewish identity, and they inculcates into the Jews values that go against our religion, aspirations that go against our religion, a history that's false.
Thank you. think of Rastafari, but how can you justify belief in a God that's left you behind? You've simply filled the gap between the upper and lower class, and your faith merely keeps you in line. In line, yeah. An amalgamation of Jewish scripture and Christian thought. What will that get you? Not a fuck of a lot. Take a look at your promised land. Your deed is that gun in your hand. Mount Zion's a minefield, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip. Soon to be parking lots for American tourists and fascist cops, yeah. Fuck Zionism. Fuck militarism. Fuck Americanism. Fuck nationalism. Fuck religion, fuck religion, fuck religion, fuck religion, fuck religion, fuck religion, fuck religion.
You've said in our conversation, Tucker Carlson, you have put at the door of the Israeli government. Now, to some people, that will be evidence that you are anti-Semitic. You are anti-Jewish.
Oh, I know. I'm very anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish. Well, first of all, the state of Israel does not speak for all Jews at all, despite its claims. It does not. There are many, many Jews, many of whom I know, who don't think the Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu speaks for them.
No,
I'm speaking of the government, not religion.
No,
no, no, hold on, hold on.
I was suggesting was that a lot of the things that you've
discussed
today.
I've been in this business longer than you, and I understand what a slur looks like. And you're attempting to call me an anti-Semite in a passive-aggressive way. Some people would say that. Well, I'm responding to your slur and saying that it's untrue. It does not apply to me. Doubtless there are anti-Semites who don't like Israel. I'm not an anti-Semite. I don't hate Israel. The Israeli government, this is documented, and I saw it personally, steered the United States into a war that hurts the United States and the world. I'm offended by that. I didn't want it, and I'm mad about it now. I have every right to feel that way. That does not make me an anti-Semite, despite your insinuation. And I think it's important that I say that. And by the way, I hope that you run this. I can't control whether or not you air this exchange. I hope that you will, because I think it's important to push back against slurs like that, because they limit our ability to understand what's actually happening. This is not an attack by Jews on the United States. This is Benjamin Netanyahu moving the United States to do something he thinks will benefit him, but that does not benefit us. It's that simple.
The blood, wolves, the greedy, we're consuming it all. The world's got hunger and military control. States. What, from the sea to the Jordan, there is no room for two states.
I think he's sophisticated enough to know the Greater Israel Project is not going well. He surely understands he's lost in Iran. He's in deep trouble in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah is inflicting significant casualties on the IDF. The IDF is basically worn out. Despite what has happened in Gaza regarding the genocide, the fact is that Hamas is still intact and it's still a formidable fighting force. So the idea that Israel has accomplished great goals and Greater Israel is looking like it's working out swimmingly is an argument that's almost impossible to make these days. And I think that Netanyahu understands this. But the question is, what does he then do when he sees himself and his country in trouble? And the answer is he doubles down. And this is why when you think about Israel moving forward, it's going to be just more war, more horror, more genocide. They really have no choice if they want to continue to pursue this goal of a greater Israel.
Generally prefers to avoid semantic debates or controversial terminology because it might interfere with the ability to persuade people of things they don't currently believe but are allergic to the use of a word that just packs a lot of punch. The reason why I use genocide and use it now is because genocide is a very important word. It's not semantic. What genocide is designed to do as a concept is basically place that crime above all other crimes. It's a crime against humanity. The whole point of calling something a genocide is to distinguish it from every other crime, including unjust wars, including things like the invasion of Iraq or this initiation of the war in Iran. or drone bombing wedding parties and killing huge numbers of civilians. It's to say, no, this is the one unforgivable crime. This is the one crime that if you commit, you should go to Nuremberg. You should be in The Hague. These are crimes against humanity. So I do not believe that someone who claims to believe that what Israel did is genocide and who really does believe it, as AOC claims, could ever in public say, yes, this person over here was in favor of a genocide. Not just in favor of it, but he funded it. He armed it. He advocated for it. He defended it. He justified it and continues to this day to do so, even though he is guilty of perpetrating a genocide, the worst crime that could be committed. I'm still going to vote for him because he promised to give some more funds to public housing in New York. This is not something that any minimally rational or mentally well person would ever say. You cannot say that person committed a genocide and supports a genocide, but I'm still going to vote to make them Speaker of the House, the third most powerful position in the United States, the third in line to the presidency. And this is why I do not believe that AOC, despite using the word genocide under a lot of pressure, actually believes it's genocide. I don't believe that huge numbers of these left liberal pundits, these people who feign opposition to the Democratic Party, but every 2 years demand that everybody go vote for the Democrats on the lesser of 2 years, they all say it's a genocide. I don't believe they believe it either. Kamala Harris was part of the administration that funded and armed it. Joe Biden is the person who did it, and they were all ready to go out and vote for him. But a lot of these people have been forced into saying it because they know their careers depend on it. Their standing in good, decent, left liberal society depends on it. And they call it a genocide, but their actions defending AOC from when saying she would vote for Hakeem Jeffries, they're all going to be so happy if Hakeem Jeffries becomes speaker, the first ever black speaker. They're all going to celebrate this. Even if the Democrats nominate somebody in 2028 who supported and financed and armed the genocide, they're still going to go out in droves and vote for him. I don't believe, even if I'm willing to make compromises and sacrifices and vote for people even though they did terrible things on the ground that the other person's worse, you have to have some line. And the whole point of this concept of genocide is that that has to be the universal line. Once somebody crosses it, they're done. If you really believe they crossed it. But AOC, very casually, very categorically, without batting an eye, without any hesitation, I'm absolutely voting for Hakeem Jeffries for speaker. And the question referenced the fact that he supported, is a huge supporter of Israel, financed by AIPAC. He's called AIPAC Shakur. You don't find many Israel loyalists more unyielding and reliable in the House than Hakeem Jeffries. He's as bad as it gets.
Kill. genocide in Gaza. My law firm told me, take it down or you're fired. I didn't flinch. I didn't flinch because I stood by every word and I always will. But I know that will not be the only moment where those in power will tell me to change my tune, to not rock the boat. That seems to happen a lot in Congress. But here in Denver, we stand by our values and we stand with our community.
Good evening, everybody. You're tuned in to Cheap Tuesdays 101.5 UMFM. I'm live here in the studio in Winnipeg, Manitoba. You heard at the start of the show an Australian senator named Pocock, who is talking about the new UN report about child deaths in Gaza. Here's some of the facts from that report. At least 20,179 children killed in Gaza, which to me seems like an undercount. When you look at all the rubble, how the entire buildings were collapsed on each other, I feel like there's no way they have a true idea about how many people are dead. At least 44,000 injuries, including arms and legs blown off or snipered. It's a rate of harm unprecedented in modern conflict, 2% of the total child population. Deliberately targeted children in the head and the torso. Destruction of 97% of schools, orphanages, and pediatric or neonatal hospitals contributed to preventable child deaths. Mass arbitrary arrest, which of course results in torture, physical violence, and sexual abuse. Yeah, wonderful. Wolf was the first song. The track is called Genocide. The warlords of mayhem rise out of cursed soil. Deceived, ignorant men become the pawns of flesh and blood. Violate, dominate, slaughter, and exterminate. Fireflies in the night carry out the genocide. It's a great song. Well done, guys. Then we heard 84-year-old lady whose name I didn't write down, but she was in the UK. She was arrested for supporting a group in the UK that never killed anyone. Palestine Action. Palestine Action did not kill a single man, woman, or child. They didn't starve anybody to death. They didn't rape anybody in prison. They didn't destroy anybody's homes in the middle of the night. All they did was went and destroyed some weapons that were going to be sent to Israel to continue a genocide. And they were stitched up in court. You're not allowed to say you support them. They're called terrorists. They're stitched up in court. The jury was not allowed to know the reasons why they attacked these weapons and these factories. And so a bunch of them were sent to jail. It was a travesty. So this 84-year-old is protesting, and then she got arrested as well at the end of that video. Then we heard Gwar, Hail Genocide. Remember who Gwar are. They are the evil scum dogs of the universe who have come here to enslave mankind and destroy them. This is who our leaders are. And here's some of the lyrics. And so it goes forevermore. The soldiers go to war. The generals hold the door and no one's even keeping score. One thing they know that they need more. Hail to genocide. You know they're waiting for a hail to genocide. You know they're waiting for a it's your duty to serve them and it's your duty to die. And when they ask you why, tell them that you serve the holy call of genocide. Then we heard a news clip about the British Museum and how they're rewriting history to erase the word Palestine. This shows the complicity of institutions. And just on a side note, me and the family here went to the Canadian Human Rights Museum. Really excited to go and see the Palestine exhibit there that we'd heard so much about and apparently caused some controversy. And I thought it was about time because when I went to that museum when it opened, the first thought in my mind when I walked out the door was there's nothing about Palestine because, of course, we all know this didn't just start in the last couple of years. Right. And so this this exhibit, you know, focused on the 1948 Nakba, you know, when 750,000 people were just forcibly removed from their homes. But it was tiny, like two little booths. And there wasn't although there were photographs of what's happening right now. There wasn't really an in-depth connection. It basically just talked about the Nakba. And it's a good start. But we all of us felt like, that's it? It was like one little section, you know? And just when you compare to some of the other exhibits there, like on the fifth floor, the entire fifth floor was the Japanese internment camps. Now, I suppose you could argue that that happened on Canadian soil. And maybe it's more relevant. But, you know, you're talking about, I believe that the display said something like 21,000 people dispossessed, had their lands taken away. You know, 750,000 in the Nakba, you know, so it was a little hard to take. And then a whole floor for the LGBTQ plus exhibit on the bottom floor as well. Just seems like an imbalance. Now, of course, it's good to have anything in there at all. And it's a victory to get anything in there at all. Because institutions and people in power do not want to face up to this because they don't want to be complicit. They don't want their complicity exposed because they know if we follow the same rules that we did at Nuremberg, they're all going to be going to jail. They're going to be hung. But of course, you know, that's only for those other countries. That doesn't apply to us. Violent Femmes, America is. We love to preach about freedom and human rights to other less developed countries, quote unquote, but we're a fucking cesspool. So here's some of the lyrics, and then you check the figures, you check the facts, check out some facts, check out the facts, not the lies, and you'll find out it's a big surprise right between the eyes. America is the home of the hypocrite. And I'll include the entirety of the West in that. It's pretty hard to ignore. We heard Rabbi Yaakov Shapiro discussing the difference between Israeli and Jewish. And a key aspect of that difference is Zionism, which is a political ideology that, according to the rabbi, directly conflicts with the Jewish religion. And this is an X account called Voice of the Rabbis. It's a great one to follow for content like this. There's a strong anti-Israel Jewish community out there. So don't let anybody tell you that being against Israel is anti-Semitic, because it's just completely gaslighting. It's a completely wrong. It's just a way to shut down discussion. It's, you know, propaganda. Haile Selassie up your ass. I wanted to play a song about Jewish identity or Zionism, but there actually aren't really a lot out there. And I got tired of searching after about a half an hour, so I've played this one on the show several times, but it is a good one. Specifically references Christian Zionism and the two key areas in Palestine. But then it also says, fuck religion. And this, though, as we heard from the rabbi, is a situation where it seems like the religion itself is actually speaking more sense, because Zionism is the political philosophy that you know, is not necessarily connected to religion. But then you have the Christian Zionists in North America, so there's the religious element there. But anyway, I think you understand my point. The West Bank, the Gaza Strip, soon to be parking lots for American tourists and fascist cops. Yeah, fuck Zionism, fuck militarism, fuck Americanism, fuck nationalism. And yeah, prophetic, because Gaza looks like a parking lot. So, and if those fuckers have their way, it's going to be turned into like a big sort of resort area. Clip number 5, Tucker Carlson. Don't hate me for playing Tucker Carlson. His response to this media puppet was a good example of the way media works. Some might call you an anti-Semite. It's just such bullshit, cowardly tactics. It's an inference. It's I'm not saying it. Some people might say it. No, you're saying it. You're saying it without saying it. And so I just thought the Chumbawamba song, Invasion, was a good one here. The Anglo-American military have taken full command. It's keeping us fed. We're consuming it all, fat on its culture and military control, preparing for war bit by bit, whilst we're watching its telly and eating its shit. They've got it all worked out, and we give our consent by sitting back and keeping silent. We give them our consent. Born in the shadow of the USA, taught the fundamental bullshit every day, force-fed on a diet of Great British lies, media distortions censor our minds, passive spectators of royalty, too diverted to care if we're free. Nice job. Back when Chumbawamba was sort of more punk, it's a great album called Pictures of Starving Children Sell Records. We heard John Mearsheimer, one of my favorites, just approaches everything with a very consistently rational perspective and doesn't let political ideology or emotion get involved if he can. And so just talking about Israel's future, that it's not looking good for them, but that's actually not a great thing, because it's just going to lead to more horror. It's not like they're going to just give up. We'll see. And, whenever I get a chance to play some U.S. Maple, I play some U.S. Maple. It doesn't really, his lyrics aren't political. I don't think they're sort of more abstract and surreal and absurd. But, he does say more horror over and over again. Then we heard a long one from Glenn Greenwald, and I tried to edit that down, but it just wasn't possible, because he's talking about something pretty crazy about, mainstream left and liberals just being a bunch of cowards and cucks. That liberals who say that this is a genocide don't actually believe it. And he gave the example of Hakeem Jeffries, who's running for the next speaker, or he is the speaker. He's running to be reelected as speaker, maybe. I'm not actually 100% sure, but left liberals in the States saying that they're going to support him. And he is called AIPAC Shakur by some people because of how much AIPAC money he gets. And he's basically just a shill for Israel. So if you're going around saying Israel's committing a genocide and then you're saying, yeah, but I'm going to vote for this guy. I mean, politicians are sociopaths and they literally do not give a single flying fuck about anything except themselves and their dying clutch on power. None of these fuckers should be allowed in office. As he said, if you believe that it's actually a genocide, like you out there, then they should not get your vote ever again. Not a single one of them. Now we heard Smash, I Want to Kill Somebody. I, of course, am not advocating violence against elected officials by playing this song. I just think it's an effective expression of frustration that many people feel these days in regard to our leaders. So here's a few lines. A statistician studies Titian. The hands up his arse is a politician's. Redheaded women and Disraeli disposition. What a lack of vision. I want to kill somebody. Hold my hate like a knife to their throats. Cut through every muscle and break every bone. I want to chop their fucking heads off and stick them on a stake. That's the extent of my hate. It's not that I want them dead. It's just this world would be a better place if they had never existed. I want to kill somebody. And then we heard Melat Kiros. She's down in Denver giving a fiery election-winning speech. Ooh, she wrote a letter. I bet it was a sternly worded one. I'm not trying to shit all over hope. Recent elections are suggesting that there's a change coming. You know, Mandami and a lot of crew down there in the U.S. But don't hold your breath. The system corrupts and or intimidates people into compliance. And I would not be at all surprised to see this person just do a complete 180 once in office, because that's what being part of a major political party like the Democrats does to people. So I don't really have a lot of hope there in her or in Mandami or in any of that crew. I just been burned way too many times. Crass, man. One of my favorite discoveries of since I shifted my focus a few years ago to be more political is discovering Crass. They're great. This is from an album called Penis Envy, a track called Systematic Death. Deprived of any hope, taught they couldn't cope. Slaves right from the start till death do them part. Poor little fuckers, what a sorry pair. Had their lives stolen, but they really didn't care. Poor little darlings, just your ordinary folks. Victims of the system and its cruel jokes. The couple views the wreckage and dreams of home sweet home. They'd almost paid their mortgage, and then the system dropped its bomb. Pretty amazing. So, this is near the end of the show already. Cheap Tuesdays, 101.5 UMFM. And I'm going to make a major announcement here, which is that July 2026 is going to be the last month of Cheap Tuesdays on UMFM. I am retiring. I got my finger in a lot of different things right now. I got my job, which is very busy because it's high school teaching. I'm in this band, so I'm writing lyrics and practicing and playing music with the band. I'm trying to get a whole bunch of writing done, and it's just too much. I really burned out these last couple of months. And when I rank all of these things that I'm doing, something's got to go, and it's got to be this. It takes me about like... If it's a fast week, it's about 6 or 7 hours. Sometimes it's as much as 10 or 12 hours to get these shows together. And I just can't sacrifice that time anymore. So, yeah, I'm here in the city and I'm going to be doing some live shows and I'm going to be trying to do a couple of all-nighters. So stay tuned for that. Hopefully the last show, July 28th, I probably will just come in here solo and just do it all night. But I'm trying to get a couple of friends of mine and maybe my brother to do like a weekend show where we can all come in and do an all-nighter because we used to do that back in the day and it's fun. One last thing to announce. My dad passed away a couple of weeks ago and we had the celebration of life today. And so I would like to just play something in his honor. Monty Python, always look on the bright side of life. And that's it for today. This is Cheap Tuesdays saying goodbye. I'll be back here next week starting at 11 p.m., possibly just going till midnight, possibly longer. We'll see. But thanks for tuning in, folks. Have yourselves a great night.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. This'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Records available in the foyer. Someone's got to live as well, you know. All right, it's a lot. Let's get this place up there. Change his mantle within 3 weeks. What do you think pays for this rubbish? Never make the money back, you know. I told him. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.
The views expressed in the preceding program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of this station.
We couldn't have done it without you. Pledgerama 2026 has wrapped up, and once again, you showed up for UMFM in a big way. What you gave this week goes straight back into the station, into new ideas, important upgrades, and the kind of programming you won't hear anywhere else. You came through for us, and we're grateful. Thank you for supporting UMFM.
Frenchie's Records blends cafe and vinyl in one spot, allowing you to browse their selection of both new and used records and grab a strong cup of coffee while you're there. Turntables, CDs, cassettes, they have it all. Shop at the store that loves music as much as you do. Find new releases and restocks weekly in person at 260 Taché or online at frenchiesrecords.ca.
Yo, this is 3Flexion, and you're listening to 101.5 UMFM in Winnipeg.
Hello, this is Hilo Margia. You are in my room.
We'll be right back.
Yes. 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 Y